It is good to be home and worship with you all today. I had a wonderful opportunity to worship with many fellow Christians this past Sunday out on the campus of Harding University in Searcy, Arkansas. And it was a joy to be out there, to hear a speaker out there and to worship out there. Keith Lancaster, many of you know him, was the principal song leader for the week, and it was just a tremendous opportunity to be out there. But it is good to be home again. Most of you know I really like to travel. I enjoy traveling. Depending on where I'm going, I will take a plane. I was just out in Searcy, Arkansas. I flew out to Searcy. Kind of flew back home, just had little bumps along the way. Those of you may know that story. I enjoy going on a cruise ship. You know, that's fun to wake up each day and you're at a new port of call. That's really fun. But the number one way I travel, the way most people travel, is by car. That's just the way most people travel. As you also know, my children live in four different states. So when we travel to see our kids, we'll have anywhere from a 5 to a 7 or 8 to a 10 or 11 hour drive, depending upon which kid that we are going to see at that moment in time. I do not like surprises on my journey. So I tend to look at maps, especially like Google Maps and other online maps. I figure out what route is going to be the best route for our particular trip that we are going on. Yes, I overdo this, I know. I think about where we are going to stop to eat. If it is a particular restaurant that I know where we are going to, hey, look, we're on an 11-hour drive. I'm going to pick out where I want to eat. And I'm going to plan to leave the house so that I can plan to be at that restaurant at the time that I want to eat so I can get to where I want to be finally at that final destination. I just don't like surprises along the way. To me, the journey is not half the fun. The journey is simply just that, the journey. I want to get to the destination. But over the course of this month, I want us to go on a road trip together. A road trip that I'm going to just simply call life. Life is the journey. And on this road trip, we are going to find, or on life's journey, we are going to find different signs over the course of this month that I am using. And I'm telling you, I'm really giving myself a lot of liberty with these signs, as some spiritual direction along the way. We're going to take a look at detour signs. That's going to be today, or a detour sign. That's going to be today. Along our month, we're going to take a look at a sign that tells us to slow down. Another sign that tells us when we are to do a U-turn. If you've ever been at a place and you needed to do a U-turn, there are ways and times in which you do that U-turn. And then the last sign, probably the greatest of all the spiritual reminders, is that of a one-way sign. And obviously, that's going to be dealing with Jesus. So I encourage you to kind of get in the car with me, buckle up for the month, and we will, I know some of you don't buckle up, but get in the car anyway with me, and we're going to go on this journey of life, and we're going to take a look at four different signs along the journey and kind of make some spiritual thoughts to go with them. Let's begin with a word of prayer. Our Father in heaven, holy is your name. Thank you, Father, for the goodness and the grace that you have shown to us. Thank you for the new Christians that have been a part and added to you, or added by you to your family, and we get to be a part of that. Thank you, Father, for just hearing our prayers and answering them with strength, like we have seen in Sam Shearer and others. We're thankful that Betty is home, and we just lift her and Gilbert up. We ask that you continue to be with Anne, as she is home, and we just ask that you continue to watch over her. Father, there's so many along life's journey that we intersect with, and we just pray as a church that we can bind us together with cords that cannot be broken. We ask all of this in your Son's name. Amen. As we travel through life, we often think we know where we want to go and how we want to get there. Maybe in life, maybe you want to advance in your career. I will tell you, when I finally decided that I was going to be a minister, a preacher, and I went to Fried Hardeman University to get my bachelor's degree in Bible and then began preaching right after graduation, I had lots of plans around what my preaching career, even though it's a ministry, what my preaching career was going to be like. And of course, I had envisioned myself, by this point in my life, I was going to be down in Nashville preaching for a church of about 2,000, and my name would be plastered on bulletin boards or billboards everywhere with my beautiful picture there on the side. Obviously, that wasn't God's plan. It wasn't even the right plan. Sometimes we just make these plans of where we want to go and how we want to get there. Maybe you have are wanting a deeper relationship with a person, and you're trying your best to make that happen, and it doesn't always go. Maybe you want to retire and travel someday. I met with our financial person to see if I would ever be able to retire, not necessarily when. We talked about our goals and dreams and what Carrie and I would like to do to where, when my ministry time comes to an end, what would be next. But sometimes along the way, there are detours. It might be that large expense that takes years to pay off that was unexpected, and it really changes the course. It might be the loss of a loved one or an unexpected job loss that hits you so hard that it's just hard to get around. It might be changes in our health that cause issues for our life changes. But my point is, so often detours are forced upon us. When I'm driving, whether it's say over to Columbus or up to just beyond Detroit area where Elizabeth is, there are times in which we are on a road and then we come to this. It's a detour. Now, most of the time, my GPS will try to reroute me. But there's a problem with my GPS that tries to reroute me. Yes, it is taking me through the detour, but it doesn't really know the detour. So it really wants to get me back onto the highway is what it wants to do. And every time it says, you know, turn right at the next intersection or whatever the name of the road is, you know, I can't because that's still blocked. So I've got to follow detour signs. Long before GPSs, you know, we followed these, you know, orange detour signs basically on roads some of us didn't even know existed until we could finally get back on the main road, which we did know about. Most of the time, I don't like a detour. In fact, to be honest, I can never say there's been a detour that I've just jumped up and down and said, that was so wonderful. They're a detour. They're a frustration. They go against my plan. Okay? But I have to think about two questions, and I want you to think about these two questions. The first is this. How do you handle the detours that are forced upon you in life? How do you handle those detours? I don't care what the detour is. We all have them in life. Okay? How do you handle them? The second question, maybe the better question, and the one that maybe should direct the first question. How might God create or use a detour for His glory and your benefit? Now, that's a different way of looking at some detours in life. Okay? How might God either create the detour in life or use a detour that's been placed upon you in life for His glory and your benefit. I want to take you to Isaiah chapter 55. And really, we should spend the whole time in this chapter. It is a beautiful chapter. I'd encourage you to read the chapter as a whole. I'm going to just center on a couple of verses. And I'm going to start in verse 8, where God, speaking through the prophet Isaiah, says to the people, God says, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts are higher than your thoughts." I don't know what's going to happen in life. I don't know what's around the corner in life. I don't know what the detour is going to do that's going to change, maybe even put me on a completely different pathway than I thought that I was going to be on in life. I don't know what's ahead of me. But I know God knows what's ahead of me. And see, now I have to decide, are my ways higher than His ways? Or are His ways higher than my ways that are taking me along the byways of my life that I thought when I was on the highway? How's that for a little tongue twister? I heard a lot of speakers, and many of them had a lot of alliteration, and I love alliteration in sermons. But anyway, coming back to this particular lesson. So God says, my ways are not your ways. In fact, as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways. God thinks not only differently than I think, but God sees far more than I see. And God has a purpose. So sometimes these detours in life are there for a reason that God knows. Okay? Now look at the next two verses as God kind of unpacks this a little bit for us. He goes on to say, "For as the rain and snow come down from heaven and do not return there, but water the earth, making it bring forth and sprout, giving seed for the sower and bread for the eater." So that's a long tongue twister, but hang on to that one. He goes on to say, "So shall my word be that goes out from my mouth. It shall not return to me empty, but it shall accomplish that which I purpose, and shall succeed in the thing for which I sent it." So God's ways are higher than my ways. My ways are not, my thoughts are not His thoughts. His ways are higher than mine. His thoughts are higher than mine. And then God says, let me just give you an illustration that you dumb humans can understand. I send the weather, the rain, the snow, and it nourishes the ground. It does what it's supposed to do, so that you can grow crops, so that you can eat, so that you can survive, okay? You understand that's what it does. The rains come down, the snow comes down, the earth is taken care of. You can have bread to eat. You can live. He said, now with that in mind, here's what I want you to understand, God says. Just like that is true, so shall it be with my word. God says, my word that goes out from my mouth isn't going to come back to me void or empty. Instead, it's going to do exactly as I purposed it to do. Which means God knows everything. The difficulty I often have with God is that God knows everything, because I want to know everything, and I don't. And so I have to trust that God does, and that what God's word is sent out to do will be accomplished. Okay? It's going to be accomplished. It's going to succeed in that which God wanted it to do. So, we have seen that take place this past week due to the past teachings and study and trials and failures and just life in general. This past Monday and Thursday and Friday, people in this congregation were participants in and witnesses of a new life, a new beginning, as people were baptized into Christ and raised for his glory. And it really has been a great, great week. And we've been celebrating that all week. We've been celebrating it this morning. We're going to continue to celebrate it as soon as this worship service is done. The Lord added these people to his body. But here's my point. My point is the word of God went out from his mouth and accomplished exactly what he intended it to do. Why is it that some receive that word at a younger age, some at a little older age? I don't know all of those things. Outside of the say, we're all kind of stubborn and hard-hearted at times, and we don't always want to listen when we should, and sometimes it takes some detours in life for God to help us to see what we need to see. But then it accomplishes exactly what God wanted it to accomplish. So God's been drawing these wonderful people to him, and along the way, others were entering into their pathway to help them get to this point. It might be slow, but God touched the heart, and these people returned to him or came to him, and his word does not return to him void. But I want to come back to question number one real quick. I'm going to move on to question number two. How do you handle the detours that come in your life plans? Do they make you angry? Yes. Frustrated? Yes. Upset? Yes. I don't like any of them. I admit that. But I will tell you, as we're going to look in the second part, there is so much I have learned from the detours. The detours have taught me more than I thought that I was going to experience when I was doing it my way. And it's because God knew exactly where I needed to go. And so he directed my path. Do I look to God? That's the second question. You know, how have we seen God? And how are God's ways higher than ours? How might God use these detours in life for his glory and our benefit? Well, I want to give you three thoughts. And here's the first one. Even detours change me. Even at this point in my life, and I'm not happy about it, I'm just honest, I can be immature. Now, you don't have to go to Cary and get all sorts of, you know, stories, but I can be immature. I don't believe I'm quite as immature as I used to be. Now, there are things that I said when we first got married that were never wise, you know, talking about my mom and how she did things and now Cary and how maybe she's not doing them quite the same way. I've matured over the years to some degree. I can and have been in the past a little too high and mighty. I'm going to call that self-righteous. Okay? I have seen good in my life, which I'm very thankful for. But instead of holding on to that thankfulness and humility, I can allow it to puff me up. Okay, and so I often, when people will say to me, in great kindness, and many of you have experienced that, you know, they'll come and they'll talk to me and say, I really appreciated that sermon or those type of things. I try now to always say, well, I'm glad God was able to use me to speak to you or give him the glory on that one. Or I heard that somewhere else and I was just trying to share it because I don't want it to be about me. I realize that detours in life often have helped me to change. They have sometimes humbled me. I was doing really good in high school. I was in a speech competition, a national speech competition. I was living in Alaska, so you can be a big fish in a little pond up there. I got through all of that. I won the state competition. Now I'm moving to Northeast United States, and I'm competing against the state winners of the Northeast United States. And I'm really excited because I just think I'm really good. You know, I'm 17, 18 years old, and I'm winning all the, I, literally, on this particular competition, you never stop until either you get to Washington, D.C., or you fail, one or the other, in the speech competition. So I had no idea how long I was going to be gone when I said goodbye to Mom and Dad. So I'm in Boise, Idaho, and I thought, man, I did a really good speech. Because, you know, I like me. And I thought it was a really good speech. And then you have to do the extemporaneous speech. You know, you draw a thing out of a hat, you get 5 minutes to prepare, and then you have to give a 5-minute speech on what you just drew out of the hat. That one's a little tougher, but you know, I'm a schmoozer. I figure I can handle that one too. And I thought I handled that one really well. And now it's time, all of us are up there representing our states, and now it's time for them to announce who the winner is that's going to move on to a little bit bigger quadrant and move on for representing more of the western side of the United States. And they go through that list, and you know, down in fifth place and fourth place, my name isn't used. Third place, my name isn't used. I'm like, you know, I'm moving on. I'm moving on. I'm good. Okay. And then I get my name at second place, and a girl beat me. Oh, man. I'm telling you, my world was rocked. What I'm saying is there are detours in life that are meant to change you. They are meant to humble you. They are meant to take you down a different path. So yes, you can get high and mighty. You know, the opposite of that we might think is self-loathing, where you get really whiny like you're a big baby. I would really call that self-centered, not self-loathing. It's really just all about you. That's all that it is. You know, and you're upset because it's not all about you at the time. Either way, the detours are there to help us. Paul understood how God used detours to guide him. From the very beginning of his life, if you're in Bible class today, we talked about a bunch of detours that Paul went through. Even though he wanted to preach God's message to the Asia Minor world and to take that message into that area, you know, God had a different plan for him, and he got that Macedonian call, and, you know, he's moving on now into Europe, and he's making some changes over there. Paul was blessed with some great, great visions. He was blessed with an ability to speak in tongues. He was blessed in many ways. And to have all that blessing, he says in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 7, he said, to keep me, look at this, to keep me from becoming conceited. That's the problem. To keep me from becoming conceited because of the surpassing greatness of the revelations, a thorn in the flesh was given to me in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to harass me, to keep me from becoming conceited. So here's Paul's point of view. Paul says, I know I'm good. And that's part of the problem. Not that he shouldn't be good. He is good. God's using him in a great, powerful way. God has blessed him with tremendous visions, with abilities to speak in tongues, to perform miracles, to do different things. He was taking the message to literally the known world of the Mediterranean, northern Mediterranean Sea. And he said it's easy for him to become conceited. When you're at the top of your game, you often think that's where you belong. Jesus has a detour many times for the one that he calls. Paul says to keep me from having that self-righteousness, I was given the thorn in the flesh. The second thing that detours can do, so they can change me, they can also mature me. We don't like it, but we come to James chapter 1 because it makes sense and it is truth. James says in James 1 verse 2, count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds. For you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness. And let steadfastness have its full effect, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. Detours, sometimes the purpose of them is to mature me. Sometimes I go through the trial, well, to be honest, because I can be a big baby and I need to move beyond that. I need to grow up and put my big boy pants on. Okay? I need to understand life isn't all about me. I need to understand you don't always win, and there isn't a trophy for every participation, okay? Sometimes failures happen. But these things can be done to mature me. They can help me to grow so that trials that I face, those various trials that come in all sorts of different ways, they might be a health trial, they might be a financial trial, they might be a marriage trial, they might be a relationship with your best friends or other family members. That whatever the case, all of these trials come. And he says, before you get wrapped up in the trial, understand that the trial is a testing of your faith. How are you going to be and remain true to God when life doesn't go the way you want it? So he says, let that faith produce steadfastness, endurance, stick-to-itiveness, if I can make up a word. Okay? And he says, and as you are sticking with God, let that produce completeness or perfection or wholeness, maturity, so that you are lacking in nothing. James says, detours come along the way for a purpose of maturing you. The third one is detours come along the way because sometimes God wants to use us to help somebody else. Philip was a busy man. I love Philip. You know, Philip, we get introduced to Philip when the church is having issues. Remember that story? You got the Greek widows and the Hebrew widows and the friends of the Greek widows are saying, you're not treating our widows correctly. You're not giving them enough food and you're showing favoritism to the Hebraic women. And so they take it to the apostles and they say, hey, elders in this particular case, go fix our problem. And the apostles say, sorry, ain't playing your game. You guys need to fix the problem. So here's what I think you need to do. You need to get 7 men full of the Holy Spirit who are wise, who are mature, and let them deal with this issue of serving the tables. Nothing wrong with serving the tables, but let them take care of that. We have other work we need to be doing. Well, one of those 7 men is Philip. I doubt that was what Philip expected. That was a detour in his life. Soon after that comes, sadly, the death of Stephen. He is martyred. And people are being pushed outside of Jerusalem and Judea. And Philip has another detour in life, and it's taking him to Samaria. And there in Samaria, he is doing a wonderful work and people are coming to Christ. And the church in Jerusalem is hearing about what Philip is doing up there in Samaria. And they send some people up there to check it out. So the apostles go up there and they check it out. Peter and John are up there and they're seeing this great work that is going on. Philip is doing a good work and he's doing a good work up in Samaria. And then all of a sudden God says, here, another detour, by the way, Philip. I need you to go down to a desert road, a road that's going from Jerusalem down through Gaza. Probably heard of the Gaza Strip. Maybe that's been in the news lately. I don't know. And so I want you to go down to this road, okay? And then I'll tell you what to do. Well, I mean, he's got a good ministry. He was doing a good ministry in Jerusalem. Now he was doing a good ministry up in Samaria. And then God says, but I've got another detour for you. I want you to go down to this desert road. So he gets down there and the Spirit of God says to him, see that chariot? Go join yourself to that chariot. Now, to our knowledge, we don't even get a whole lot of what's going on there except for there's a chariot. I need to go meet the chariot. He goes and he meets the chariot. And inside the chariot is this guy from Ethiopia. He had been up to Jerusalem worshiping God. Could you imagine? He traveled all the way from Africa, from Ethiopia on the continent of Africa, up through that area all the way to Jerusalem to worship Jehovah God. Probably a Jewish proselyte would be what we would think because of all that's going on there. He is wealthy enough to own his own personal scroll of Isaiah. Okay, so he got some money. Okay, he's got some money. And now he's traveling back and he's on a chariot, which means he's got a driver. He ain't having to do anything. He's going back to Ethiopia, and he's reading his Bible. And Philip comes up and he asks one question. He says, do you get what you're reading? Do you understand it? I mean, it's not that you don't understand words, but do you understand the meaning of what you're reading? The guy says, how can I? Unless someone can explain it to me. So he says to Philip, join me in my chariot. Now, I don't know what Philip is thinking. Ethiopia wasn't on my highway of life direction map. I don't know what's going through his head. But he gets in that chariot. And the Bible says he begins with that scripture taken from Isaiah, what we would call Isaiah 53. And he preaches or teaches to him about Jesus. They're going down that road, that desert road that God had sent now Philip to. And lo and behold, you know, just so happens, coincidence, there's some water along the side of the road, a pool of some type. You know, an oasis. And the Ethiopian says to Philip, there's some water. Why don't I just get baptized? And Philip's like, yeah, sounds like a good plan. Let's go do that. They stop the chair. They get down. They both go into the water. He baptizes the Ethiopian. The Ethiopian gets back up, but Philip is gone. The Ethiopian, he just gets back in his chariot and he goes on his way rejoicing. By the way, Philip is now over in Caesarea. We're talking detours all over the place. But each detour is helping somebody else. He's in Caesarea. There he seems to find a wife and he gets married and he has four daughters. They're all prophesying. I mean, this is a wonderful family. But Paul has been on a missionary journey and things are not going well for him and he's heading back to Jerusalem. He happens to stop at Caesarea and he goes to the home of Philip. You see, detours are sometimes there because somebody else needs me. They're not even always about me. Sometimes it's about putting me in the right path for somebody else. But I wasn't looking for that path. So God pushed me down that path. Sometimes kicking and screaming, at least in my case. But when we do that and we stay true to God, what we find is God uses these detours. So you and I experience detours in life. Unexpected, unplanned, most likely unwanted changes. But we can't forget that God is always at work in and through you. Sin happens. Other people sin against you, harm you. But their sin might be a detour sign in your life for a correction change. Maybe you need to understand love better. Maybe you need to understand forgiveness deeper. Maybe not because of the sin against you, but maybe something is going on that can help you to mature to become a better Christian or a disciple. Maybe you need to understand that you need to encourage those who are struggling in their sin because somebody has sinned against you and someone else is struggling with a sin that has been against them. But instead of turning to God, they're just all worked up about it. But now you've got your story to tell. And so you sit down to encourage them. Detours, I believe, are either created by God or used for God's purpose. One or the other. Because I try my own pathway, and my own pathway doesn't work very well. Therefore, I have to, if you will, drive by faith and not by sight. Detours are frustrating. But if I accept that God is at work in and through me, if I accept that detours are part of God's plan to mold and make me, to change me into something that he has desired to use. If I accept that detours in my life mature me or prepare me for something bigger that is coming down the road that I couldn't have handled if I didn't have this detour to help teach me. If I accept these things, these detours, as God's plan, they become so much less frustrating. And they help me. They help me to see life through the eyes of Him who created me. And that's what I need. Road signs along life's journey. That's what we're going to be talking about this month. Today, a detour sign. They help, that sign helps to remind me to look to God. And maybe you are in a detour in your life. Maybe there is an unexpected course correction that has come in your life. I'm asking you, what is God doing in and through that? What lesson are you to learn? How is God using that to open you up to Him? Listen. See, follow, and obey. The detour sign is there for a reason. If we can help you as you navigate life's road, if you need someone to pray with, we're going to have an elder up here, and they will pray with you, take you off to the side, and they'll pray with you. If you need, like others have done, to give your life to Christ, be buried with Him in baptism, and raised in newness of life, we want to be able to do that too. Wherever you are along life's journey, if you are in need of someone to walk with you, won't you come as we stand and as we sing?